God. Isn't the Lord wonderful? Hallelujah. I believe there's need in the house tonight that God wants to meet. I learned a long time ago that I can't want it more than you want it. The old saying is, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Of course, I told my dad that one time, and Dad said, yeah, but I can drown him if I get a chance. Hallelujah. But I believe God wants to talk to our hearts if we'll allow it in this place. This has been a different revival for me, meaning in the aspects of I rarely, 9.9 times out of 10, I never know what I'm going to preach until probably, sometimes until I walk to the pulpit. And then it didn't happen for Sunday, but for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, it's like God said, these are the three messages. I didn't know exactly when I was going to preach which one, but it's happened exactly what God said. That don't normally happen with me. God normally makes me squirm a little bit. But I feel I've even tried to do my due diligence and try to look at other things today. But I just keep coming back to this. Pastor's already said, I didn't know you was going to be here. You probably didn't even know I was going to be here if you're a visitor. But God knew you was going to be here. Bible said that time and chance happeneth to us all. We're all given a window of opportunity. I said, we're all given a window of opportunity. Hallelujah. We could say, I've heard them say it all my life, I live for God when I want to live for God, Brother Mills. But that's not the way it works. The Bible said that no man can come into the Father unless the Spirit draweth him. So if God's not drawing, I don't care how much you pray, it ain't going to do no good. But then the Bible also said that His Spirit will not always strive with man. Meaning that there is a window of opportunity. Time and chance happen to us all. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Brother Johnson. I tell you, the hospitality has been outstanding. Everything from A to Z. It's just been wonderful. You'd have thought you'd been pastoring for 30 years and you evangelized for at least 15. Hallelujah. And evangelists like to preach for people that evangelized before. But I can tell you right now, your pastor is not in the least bit and outdone by anybody. It's a lot of well-trained. Hallelujah. So thank you so much for everything, for Sister Johnson, your family, for everything, church family, for everything that's been done for our family. That we cannot say how much we appreciate it. Hallelujah. Mark 10:46. Some of you may be happy, some of you may be sad, but I got a little bit more of a voice tonight than what I did last night. Now, I do in normal talking. I hadn't cranked down yet, so I don't know. I tried one time to crank down earlier today in the hotel, and I said, Jackson! And I was just saying it just to, what? He thought he was in trouble. I said, I'm just practicing preaching. Hallelujah. I've seen if I got a voice. But I feel a whole lot better tonight. And one thing about it, tonight's the last night, so if I strip it out, I got to Sunday to get it back. Hallelujah. Mark, the 10th chapter, the 46th verse. Bible says, when they came to Jericho, and as he went out to Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still, commanded him to be called, and they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" Blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Looking back at verse 50, and he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. I want to preach the sinner, backslider, if they may be here. I want to preach the saint of God. I want to preach to everybody in this building. And I want you to answer this question tonight. Are you willing to change your identity? Are you willing to change your identity? If you would, lay your Bibles down. Let's lift our voices and our hands to heaven right now. Pastor Jonathan, would you bless the word of the Lord right now? Seated. I changed coats not because I'm cold. Just going to use it for a demonstration. So don't nobody turn the heat on because I will be sweating by the time I take it off. Hallelujah. The word identity means the distinguishing character or personality of an individual. Great crowds were on the road going to Jerusalem. Within our text here, they were pilgrims on the way to celebrate the Passover. Apparently, the Lord was somewhat ahead of the crowd as he came from Jordan and entered Jericho by his eastern gates. He was soon getting ready to perform another one of his gracious miracles. The Lord was making his way through this ancient city when he encountered a man by the name of Blind Bartimaeus. The Bible said that they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. It tells us that Blind Bartimaeus was the son of Timaeus, meaning he was the son of the unclean. The Bible lets us know that when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." I love to preach from the Gospels. I probably preach from the Gospels more than any other place. And one of the things that I love to preach about, the reason I like to preach from the Gospels is you got so much information and viewpoints. You got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that are basically telling us the same thing. But it's a different viewpoint. You said, "Brother Mills, Mark says this, but John says this." It don't go line upon line and cross their T's just the same, or dot their I's the same. No, but there's not a contradiction. You see, there was a house fire in Lebanon tonight, and I was a newspaper editor, and I sent out 4 reporters. They're all going to write exactly what happened. And they're going to come back, and what they're going to tell me is going to be the truth. But it's going to be 4 different stories telling the exact same thing. It's their viewpoint. It's how they've seen it. It's what they glean from it. And this is what we find within the Gospels. Within this story here, Matthew tells us that there were 2 blind men and that the miracle took place as Jesus was leaving Jericho. Mark, in his parallel account, mentions the principal blind man, Bartimaeus, and indicated that the miracle took place as Jesus was leaving Jericho. But he also refers to the Lord's entry into Jericho. Luke, in his parallel account, mentions the principal blind man and indicated that he sat by the wayside begging as Jesus drew near to Jericho. Now we got him on this side of Jericho, and we got him on this side of Jericho. But it's not a contradiction here. Scholars would tell you probably what happened was that Bartimaeus and his companion, because in one reading it says that there were 2 blind men, that they were begging near the eastern gate of the city, and Jesus, here he is ahead of the crowd, and he's making his way towards Jericho. Then came the crowd, hard on the heels of Jesus, creating noise, creating an environment of excitement. I can see blind Bartimaeus as he said, "What's all the noise about? What's all the commotion about? Why is the crowd here? Do you not realize that Jesus of Nazareth had just passed by this way? Jesus has just went into Jericho. He just came right by where you are." He realized that he had missed the opportunity of a lifetime. Scholars feel like that the Lord had passed by him. And he knew, Bartimaeus knew, that he would never be able to see him probably again. Because the Bible lets us know that Jesus never even passed that way again before he went to Calvary. I can see blind Bartimaeus, there is no way that I can get to him in the city. I'm blind. I can't find him in the crowds. The crowd separates me from Jesus. And there's no way I can go into the city with the multitudes of people that will be there and get my way to Jesus. So I could see him, knowing that they would always go in one gate and they would come out of another gate. I could see him telling the blind man that was with him, "You can stay here if you want to, but I'm making my way around this city. I'm taking and get to the other side. I missed this opportunity, but I am not going to miss the next opportunity." Bible says when he got there, that many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he began to cry the more, "A great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me." I really, you said, "Brother Mills, the Bible don't say this." Well, it don't say it either, or either way. I'm just using what my thoughts is. I don't believe that blind Bartimaeus started saying, "Thou son of David," once Jesus came out of the city. I believe he was hollering it and screaming it from the very moment he got situated on the other side of Jericho. "I'm not going to see Jesus when he comes out this time. I'm not going to know when he walks out of the city this time. I will not miss my opportunity." And I can see him screaming, "Jesus is still in Jericho. Thou son of David, have mercy on me." This title is used 9 times in the Bible. Thou son of David. The Gentile lady appealed to him by this title, but received no answer until she had changed her appeal and addressed him as Lord. As a Gentile, she had no claim on the son of David. The title owns him as Israel's rightful king, David's heir, the claimant to David's throne. And blind Bartimaeus voiced in his belief here. He voiced his belief in the Lord Jesus as Israel's true Messiah. Beggars were a common sight. There was no welfare system. There was no disability system. There was no food stamp programs. There was no assisted living. There was nothing like this. And why some of these things can get a bad rap because of their abuse, they're there for a good reason when they're used right. And here it is. Beggars have got one thing that they can do. Beg. Beg. If you're going to live, you're going to beg. They were an annoyance even as they kept their place and quietly asked for alms. But when they loudly cried out to Jesus, the multitudes had no sympathy upon them. The people trampled past. I could see this blind man and bluntly told him to be quiet. Shut up, blind Bartimaeus. You can beg tomorrow. You can come back tomorrow. But Jesus is passing by this way. I know He is. But I'm tired of being a beggar. I'm tired of being in the situation that I'm in. I'm tired until you get tired. You will not get deliverance. Blind Bartimaeus knew he needed the Lord, and crowd or no crowd, opposition or no opposition, he was not going to be silenced. He was not going to be intimidated by the heartless crowd. He ignored his critics. Matthew wrote that they cried the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." How easily people are kept from God by fear of their particular crowd. Even when it's part of the popular movement that for the moment applauds the master and his man, the crowd is no friend to a genuine seeking soul. The crowd, when it's all said and done, is the crowd. It'll congratulate you today, and it'll crucify you tomorrow. The crowd don't like to be disturbed. Think of who makes up your crowd. Co-workers, friends, family, the people at school. If you lift up your voice to express some heartfelt need to come to God, and if you do it in a way that disturbs your crowd, they will try to silence you. But blind Bartimaeus was made of the sterner, more sterner stuff than this. He was not going to be kept silent. You see, he was the one that was getting up begging every day. He was the one with no hope of a future. It wasn't the crowd, it was him. And the Bible said that he cried the more. This sensible man, aware of his need, sure of the saving power of God, and conscious that it was now or never for him, refused to be intimidated by the crowd. It was indeed his one and only chance. If God didn't do it this time, he wouldn't going to do it, because he was never coming by that way again. You decide to live for God, new convert. And your family, your friends, your co-workers will do everything they can to stand in your way. No concern was shown about whether or not you go to church or not until you start living for God. And then everybody's got an opinion on what you should be doing. They didn't worry about you when you was drinking at the nightclubs. They didn't worry about you when you was smoking and you was doping and when you was living in a hellhole of sin. But you start making some changes in your life that makes your ground feel uncomfortable. And the ground is going to let you know what they think about it. And I got news for you. I don't take financial advice from people that are in debt. And I'm not going to take spiritual advice by people that are not living for God. My help is not in the world. My help is in the church. Hallelujah. This may be his only chance. God, I've already mentioned it in this revival, does not guarantee us a second chance to be saved. Why should anyone hear the gospel twice before everyone has heard it once? The gospel tidings are so great and glorious, and God has every right to expect that the news will be believed and received at once. That He has patience with those who hesitate is just another expression of His grace and His mercy. But blind Bartimaeus was not going to take a chance that there would be another opportunity. The Bible said that Jesus stood still. The only word in the Bible that I read where Jesus ever stopped in His tracks. I'm telling you, you can reach a point that you can cry out to God that it causes God to stop in His tracks and take notice of you. You think God don't know where you're at tonight. I'm talking to somebody right now. You think that God don't know where you're at. That God don't know your address. That God don't know your name. But if you'll cry out, God will stand still and come to where you're at. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bible says that Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. They called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of comfort, rise, he calleth thee." The Lord's ear was open to this poor man's cry. Above the loudness of the crowd, he heard the voice of a needy man. His call of faith cheered the Savior's heart. I could see as he stopped, he cut through the clamor. He commanded that the way be clear. See, you may be sitting here tonight thinking there's no way I could get to Jesus. But I'm telling you, the Lord said you clear the way out for blind Bartimaeus, that he could come to where I'm at. In fact, Matthew tells us the following, that Jesus stood still and he called them and said, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" How eager the Lord is to respond to a fervent, effectual prayer. The Bible said that he casting away his garment. Why did Mark even acknowledge blind Bartimaeus' coat? See, I'm a strong believer that God just don't put words in there to fill up a story. See, when I was in college, I was good on doing that in papers. I could make up stuff out of my head to get that ever so many pages or words or whatever. But God don't do nothing like that. Every word is forever settled in heaven. And he said, why would Mark acknowledge this when he wrote this gospel in this book? What made this coat so significant? You see, this coat was very important to blind Bartimaeus. After all, it was the only way that he could survive was if he had this coat. This coat was issued by the government. It gave the wearer of it legitimacy that showed that they had permission and almost like a permit that they could beg from. If you didn't have this garment, if you didn't have this coat, then you couldn't beg. This coat qualified him to collect alms and to beg. What are you trying to say, Brother Mills? This coat was his identity. It identified who he was. When you seen this coat, you knew who blind Bartimaeus. You might have not known his name. You might have not known his background. But you knew exactly where he was living at. You knew exactly what he was dealing with. When blind Bartimaeus discarded this coat, he was making a bold declaration. He was saying, I no longer need the coat. Jesus is going to heal me. He was declaring that I'm willing to walk away from my identity to take on the identity of God. He was saying, I no longer will be dependent upon the government or the help of man. But from this day forward, I'm going to be dependent upon the Lord. From this day forward, I'm going to experience the life of God in all the aspects of my life. There's something else about this coat that we need to notice. This coat that I'm talking about that blind Bartimaeus threw away. This coat is a picture of our coat of sin. Each one of us tonight were clothed in our sinfulness. We were washed in the blood of the Lord. Bartimaeus in essence was putting off the old man and putting on the garment of Christ. He took off the garment of sin and he put on righteousness through Christ. He was saying, I'm tired of the old life. He's walking away from that life forever. He recognized this. I can't have it both ways. He realized, I can either stay by the side of the road for the rest of my life, living my life based upon the circumstances of the day, or I can put off the old beggar's coat and I can follow after Jesus. But I can't have it both ways. You see, he was not unlike the Old Testament predecessors of his. Jacob's whole household changed their garments before going to Bethel to worship. Genesis 35:2, the Bible said, then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you. Be clean and change your garments. And let us arise and go to Bethel. And I will make there an altar unto God, who answereth me in the day of my distress. And was with me in the way which I went. Joseph, we find in Genesis 41:14, changed his garments before he met Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph and brought him hastily out of the dungeon. But before he went to Pharaoh, the Bible said he shaved himself. He changed his raiment and he came unto Pharaoh. Aaron was given new garments prior to the appointment to the office of the priest. In Exodus 28:2-3, they knew this. As Bartimaeus knew, that new garments are required before having an audience before the king. Bartimaeus threw his beggar's garments aside as he stepped into the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The changing of garments symbolizing turning from the old life to walk in the new life. Bartimaeus' garment identified him as a beggar. But when he cast it aside, he signaled his readiness for fundamental change in his life. He was saying, I'm willing to do what it takes to experience new life. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Like Bartimaeus, we have got to cast away the old in our lives in order to come into newness that is in ours in Christ. Whatever it is, we got to be willing to cast it away, to cast it down, and to cast it out. We must consciously cast away habits that will inhibit our progress in living for God. We must cast away old associations that keep us away from our prophetic purpose of living for God. We must cast away old ways of thinking that identify us as a victim rather than being victorious. All things are passed away. All things are going to be made new. And he casting away his garment rose and came to Jesus. It is significant that this verse begins with, and he. And he. Though physically blind, Bartimaeus had enough insight to know that he had to do himself what Jesus had invited him to do. He didn't ask anyone in the crowd to remove his garment or to help him to get up. Let me tell you something. You've got to want it more than anybody else wants it for you. The only way you're going to get out of the pig pen, the only way you're going to get out of the hell hole of sin, is if you want to walk out of it. God will make a way, but you've got to want it more than anyone else. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I got bad news for some of y'all. My voice is getting stronger. Hallelujah. The more I preach. When Jesus called for Bartimaeus, he cast his garment and he went to Jesus empty. Empty. God is not a God that you negotiate with. He's not a God that you bargain with. He's not a God that you say, if you do this, I'll do this. God, I'll give this up, but I won't give this up. But he's the God that says, sweet water and bitter water can't flow from the same fountain. You can't serve two masters. You gotta love one and you gotta hate the other. He said, I'm a jealous God. He said, you can't serve any other gods. Oh, for the meals. We were talking about it, me and Brother Jacob was talking about it even this week. I believe it was last night. We live in a time, I told him, that there's more idolatry now than in any time that there's ever been. But Brother Mills, I don't bring in no idols into my home and bow down before them. Friend, an idol is anything that you put between you and God. Anything that separates you from moving up in God. And you know what? It might be an idol for you and not be an idol for me. It might be an idol for me and not be an idol for you. He said, lay aside every sin and every weight that would so easily beset you. I'm telling you, we need to analyze our life to say, is there anything hindering us from moving forward in God? Hallelujah. In the moment,
He came before Christ empty of all of his pride, of all of his dignity, of his standing, of his status. He stood before him with great humility to attain mercy. In the moment that Bartimaeus cast away the beggar's garment, he was stepping into the unknown. Though blind and begging, it was a familiar role in which he related to his work. He was used to begging. He felt comfortable begging. That was his comfort zone. When he got up every day, he was used to doing those things. Once he received his sight, what would he do for income? Because he would not be qualified to beg any longer. Will his family and friends accept him as an empowered person? Because if you look at his background, his daddy was blind too. His family was beggars also. And he's going to have to walk right back into those homes and say, I'm different than the way that I used to be. I don't talk like I used to talk. I don't act like I used to act. In fact, I threw the beggar's coat away. I don't dress like I used to dress. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost. I don't speak like I used to speak. I don't do the things that I used to do. You may stay here and beg, but I'm following in the way. I'm following Jesus. I've got new life. I've got new hope. I've got new direction. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Will he be ridiculed for having the desire to exit the cycle of poverty? The Messias family's name. I've seen people before. They ain't told me this, but I've seen them tell other people, Lord, don't pray too much that I get healed. I'll lose my disability. Hallelujah. Well, I promise you, you ain't going to get healed with that attitude. Hallelujah. You see, it takes courage to respond to the call of God. Some of you new converts, it took courage to do what you're doing. To embrace a new and unfamiliar pathway of life that was very foreign to you. Quite frankly, it's scary to step out into the unknown. Yet we must remember that we are not alone. If the Father is calling us to a new place, He will be there to make a way with every transforming step that we take. The Bible said that Jesus answered and said unto him, what will thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. After all, Bartimaeus had not yet actually voiced his need to Jesus yet. Jesus knew what he wanted, but he wanted blind Bartimaeus to verbalize what he wanted. You know what? Jesus wanted to make sure blind Bartimaeus knew what he wanted. I know what you need, but I want to make sure you know what you need. Bartimaeus had no doubt about what he wanted when he told the Lord, Lord, that I might receive my sight. One of the last things that Bartimaeus did in this verse was he came to Jesus. He put one foot in front of the other. Still blind. Still can't see. But he's walking towards the light of salvation. I don't know where I'm going. But I see a light. And I'm going to walk towards it. It's lonely. It's unknown. It's scary. But where he leads me, that is where I'm willing to follow. God bless us as we step into His will for our lives, even when we sometimes can't see the steps. I want to encourage some of you new converts in this place. that as God reveals stuff to you, as if you will obey it, as He convicts your heart, as if you will obey it and do it, and not question God about it, and you find yourself flowing in the will of God. I'm prophetically speaking right now that God is going to bless you like you've never been blessed before. God is going to do things in your family and in your homes. He's going to do things in your finances. He's going to do things in your life that you've never had done before. But you've got to be willing to walk before Him. You've got to be willing to come empty before Him. You've got to be willing to say, not my will, but Thy will be done. Jesus. You see, Bartimaeus couldn't even see the exact path for his steps. But God's Word was a lamp unto his feet. And it was a light to his path. The Bible said that Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight. And he followed Jesus in the way. That is what all those that come to God should do. Follow in the way. He knew what way that was. It was Christ's way. His vision was restored. He could see no man could see but Jesus. And with his eyes fixed on Jesus, blind Bartimaeus now was just Bartimaeus, and he had no trouble knowing which way to go. Brother, begin to play. What propelled Bartimaeus, Brother Johnson, to arise from his place of beckoning? Was it what he saw? Yes, it was. Brother Mills, he's blind. Bartimaeus looked through the eyes of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of the things not seen. He saw that Jesus could transform his life. Therefore, he moved to the direction of that vision. When we look at only what we can physically see, we're not compelled to arise from that which impounds our freedom in Christ. However, if we see as Bartimaeus, we walk by faith, not by sight. The only way to see is to focus like a faith power laser beam. It's to abide in God's Word. Faith, true faith, comes by hearing. Hearing comes through the Word of God. It was the Word that gave Bartimaeus strength that day and courage to cast off that garment, to cast off his identity, to arise and walk to Jesus. Which coat are you wearing tonight? Are you wearing the old coat of sin and dependency? Or have you put on the garment of Christ? Are you tired of the boring life of just living for yourself and your basic natural needs, just making it from day to day? Like Bartimaeus, you got to get tired of that old life. He felt like he couldn't take it another day. When Jesus came to Jericho, Bartimaeus was ready. He put off the coat. He came to Jesus. He received the opening of his eyes and he followed Jesus down the road. But there was something that... Remember I said I wanted even to preach to every saint in his place. There was something that blind Bartimaeus did not do that we cannot do. I never read where he went back and picked his garment back up. Some of you sitting on the pew can't understand why you live a roller coaster life living for God. That you're up one day and you're down the next. But it's because you throw the garment aside and then in a moment of weakness you go pick it back up again. But you've got to leave the garment off. You got to burn the bridges. I said, you got to burn the bridges. See, If you come to this altar tonight, and you're going to come and wear the coat to this altar, you might as well not come. But if you will throw the garment away and say, I'm not going back and picking it up again, and fall down in that altar, God can do something for you. God can touch you. Come on, church, I need you to pray. I feel conviction hitting this house right now. So strong. Which coat are you wearing? Are you tired of life being the way it is? I was thinking tonight during this service that no matter how young we are, no matter how old we are, we start life off, and as soon as we get, especially to those teenage years, even before we get to those teenage years, we are already reaching for something. My little boy, his favorite thing is saying, when I get to be a teenager, and he's 8 years old. Don't y'all remember doing that? And then when you get to be a teenager, you're, when I get 16. And then when you get 16, when I get to be 18, when I get out of school, and then when I get out of college, and then after that, we're wishing we could go back the opposite way. What is it that causes us to do this? It's that man was created with a void in his life that has to be filled. It was a void. And the reason it was a void from the beginning was we were created to serve God. But God would not, did not create us to be robots. He created us to have a choice. So until we make that choice to follow after Him on our own, that void will always be there. And that's why it starts off. With a drug addict, it didn't start off to be that way. But he started with just a little joint. And then it went from one thing, and then that didn't satisfy. And it just got deeper. With the alcoholic, it started with one drink. To become a point that they had to have it to survive. What is it? America. I'm not preaching against going to doctors, so please don't put me in that category. But 70% of America is on prescription drugs right now. I do not really fear I'm on prescription drugs myself. I'm a diabetic. That's not what I'm talking about, heart conditions and things like that, and blood pressure. But what bothers me is how many are on mind-altering drugs to try to get them through the day. To make it from one day to the next because they can't fulfill the void that's in their life. And what's sad about it, church, is I watched all over this country that this same thing, because it's a doctor wrote it, we think it's okay. And now it's sitting all over the pews. And a preacher can preach conviction and it don't scare nobody anymore. A preacher can preach Calvary and they look at you blankly because their mind's been altered. But what causes a person to do that? They're searching for something. They search for it in education. I'm a college degree person. I'm nothing wrong with that. But they're looking, they're trying to fulfill that void. But then they don't do it. They try to do it in their careers, but that don't do it. They go from one job to the next. They go from one vehicle to the next because it's just another toy. It just don't satisfy. But I'm telling you right now that the only thing that's going to satisfy is God. It's God. You're not here by accident. Ma'am, sir, you're not here by accident.
This is heaven or hell. This is life or death. But God has given us a chance. He's given us an opportunity to throw off the garment and say, I'm going to follow after Him. Brother Mills, I'm just not ready to serve God. It's just too hard right now, Brother Mills. So you're saying it's easier to serve the devil? Because you're going to serve somebody. The Bible said you can only serve one master. You got to love one and hate the other. If you're not serving God, you're serving the devil. And He said, if you love Me, keep My commandments. Let's stand. Come on, church, can you lift your voices up right now? I'm trying to feel after the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What garment are you wearing? Are you willing to change your identity? Is it still about you? Are you tired? See, there's young people in this place that you've already had a life of heartache. Even at a young age, you've lived in families of heartaches. But I'm telling you right now, this is the only peace that you'll ever find. I'm opening these altars up, and what I mean when I say that is, I'm inviting you to come and kneel at these altars and say, God, I'm throwing the garment away. I'm throwing the garment away. I've tried it on my own. It's been nothing but a mess. But I'm going to give You my all, God. I'm coming empty. I may be broken, but I'm empty. And I want You to put the pieces back together, God. And I want You to mold me. And I want You to feel me. Come on, church, can you lift your voice and sing something, brother? Come on, these altars are open right now. Huh? Oh, whosoever will, let them come. Hallelujah. Sing something. Do you need His mercy? Come on, I invite everyone in this place, whether you be saved, whether you be a minister, whether you be a guest, we invite you to come around this front and pray. Oh, come on. Will you throw that garment away? Would you throw your identity away? Would you throw your identity away and say, I take on His identity? I need you.